Joining me now, Aaron French, the proprietor of Lost Kitchen in Freedom, a 40-seat restaurant, correct?
40 seats.
Yep. That's become so popular since it opened in 2014 that she now runs a mail-in lottery for reservations. Do you have any idea what stoked that kind of demand?
It wasn't really one thing. There wasn't one thing that happened and we went, overnight, here we go. I feel like there were constant little bits that kept happening. One article would come out here, another thing there. We never advertised or anything or thought this would become this. But I think the real power was the word of mouth. Because all it takes is one table to come in of four people. Those four people go tell four more, and it just spread like wildfire over the years of just the power of word of mouth, really, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been 5 years?
Yeah, we're starting season six. So, yeah, we've had 5 years, and we're starting season six this year.
Why did you get into the restaurant business?
It's more of how I couldn't get out of it. I grew up in Freedom, and my dad had a little diner that was just a few miles up the road from our house. So I started cooking pretty young, and it was kindergarten when he first bought it. And I think it's challenging once you touch a kitchen in that way in your childhood, it's really hard to get away from it. It's almost a curse. So it was more of just the only thing I knew how to do later in life when I hadn't quite figured out what I was supposed to do yet.
Hmm. All right. Tell us about the restaurant. How did you come to decide to do this?
Well, there were a lot of things that happened in my life. I had my first restaurant in Belfast. My life sort of fell apart. Nasty divorce, child custody battles, this and that. And I moved back home to Freedom with my parents. And I was sort of trying to figure out a way to keep going and keep doing what I loved, which I had discovered a little late in life was food. And there happened to be a property in the town that I grew up in that was being refinished and looking for a tenant. So I pitched a crazy idea, thinking like, okay, you know, we'll see where this goes. And the owners believed in me. They believed in second chances and for some reason gave me a shot. We never thought it would turn into something like this. I thought it was going to be a little cafe with English muffins and Wi-Fi and coffee. But it's not what it's turned out to be at all.
Interesting. So tell us about the restaurant itself for people who've never been to Lost Sure. Kitchen or seen it.
Yeah, so the restaurant is in an old grist mill back from the 1800s that we had redone. We were really lucky to have a family that came in and refurbished the whole place. And so, it's I guess you would say it was farm to table if people had to ask you what kind of food it is. So very small, very intimate. We do one seating a night. We just serve whatever is fresh. You don't know what the menu is until you show up that day. So you have to be a little adventurous. And we just start coming out for 3.5 hours of just nonstop food. It's almost like you're going for a really nice dinner party at a friend's house for the night. You don't know what you're having. You show up, you have a bottle of wine, and you just start sharing food. And that's sort of what it's become today.
All right. What do you tell people who want to try and get a reservation?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's very hard. It's become very difficult. And I would say if you want to get a reservation, you have to have a little bit of patience, and you have to have a little bit of a sense of humor, I guess, because it's turned into so many people that want to come to this place that will never be able to keep up with it. So now we have a lottery. And once a year, we have a mail-in period where people can just send their information to us if they're interested in coming. And then we draw cards at random. We pull them out, we give them a call, and we set up a reservation for them for the season.
Hmm. And of course, at this point, they have to have patience because this year's reservation lottery is done.
Correct. Yeah.
How was the response this year?
We had just under 20,000, which was the same as last year.
Wow.
Which we only pick, we can only pick just over 1,000 cards. So it's a little frustrating because we can see all the people that were disappointing. But at the same time, we know we can only do so much. And we do what we do, I think, pretty well. So I hope we can really care for the people that we can for that bit.
Mm. Do you make sure to make sure people don't end up with multiple year reservations?
Definitely make sure. We had a few instances this year. We couldn't believe it where you picked a card and then a week later, you know, you'd hear like, oh, my husband got, you know, picked last week. Mm-hmm. And we say, okay, there are a lot of people who'd really love to come. I hope you don't mind. We're going to, you know, we're going to pick another card for that. So people were really good and gracious about it. So, you know, you get one chance to come and, yeah.
Have you ever heard from celebrities?
Okay, so the first one we ever heard from was Martha Stewart. But she didn't ask to come to dinner. So, you know, there are no special treatment or anything like that, which is kind of the fun of this lottery because, you know, everyone has the same chance. With Martha, okay, you know, I'm kind of a fan and I wouldn't be where I was today if it wasn't for her. I've been fangirling since I was 13. So we had her come out and we made a lunch and we just had a ladies' lunch with all the women who work with me at the restaurant. And it was a treat for all of us to, you know, to sort of have that moment with her. But otherwise... I can't think of any others right now. Yeah.
Last year, you commented on some of the artwork people put on their cards. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, have you seen more of that this year?
There was more this year, I feel like. It was interesting as you sort of pulled cards out of this pile to find more. That last year was kind of a rare thing. I'm like, oh, wow, look at this one. This year, a lot. And there were definitely themes. There were a lot of themes of... either paintings or pictures of the mill. Interestingly, first time, lots of paintings of me, which were really interesting. And there were also, we've even found some that were word games, that people made word games out of farms that we use or women who work at the restaurant or produce or things that have to do with the Lost Kitchen. And unicorns seem to be a theme this year. I'm not really sure why, but, you know, lucky unicorns, lucky charms, I guess.
Yeah. Interesting. Do you display any of this anywhere?
I have a little box that I keep in my office that, like, last year after we were done and we had some kind of special cards, I just put them aside. And I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with them yet, but we've kept every card. Like, even all of the cards that didn't get chosen last year, I can't get rid of them. Something would feel very terrible about, you know, throwing them in the trash. So I'm just holding on to them, not really sure what to do.
With such a high demand for seats at the restaurant, I mean, does that make you feel any extra pressure as a restaurateur to perform?
God. Yeah, I mean, terribly. It's terrifying. There's something that was really satisfying and exciting about it, but at the same time, it was like, oh my God! But now you have to perform and you have to pull this off. And people over the years, the expectations have grown so high that you wonder, can I keep up with this? Can I keep them happy? I mean, they're coming for this reason. So I've got to say, part of that fear keeps driving me to keep going and be stronger. And it's made me a better cook. I mean, I don't have a culinary degree. I didn't start with one. I've just sort of started this place out of nothing but good ingredients and, you know, doing something that I love to do. And it's driven me. It's definitely driven me to become stronger and better. So I'm a bit thankful for it.
Do you ever think about, excuse me, do you ever think about either enlarging the restaurant or opening another?
No, definitely not. Oh God, no. I know. And that's the thing. Cause people, I think people feel like, well, if something's successful, then the next step is to grow it and to make it bigger. And for me, I just saw like, whoa, as it started to grow bigger, I just wanted to like put the brakes on and put my hands up and go, oh my God, we have to slow this down because what we have right now is small and it's special. And if I start to mess with that, I'm going to throw it off and I could ruin it all. So I think I'm just trying really hard to keep going as long as I can, but keeping it small. And I don't know if that's the right decision success-wise. I mean, maybe I should be thinking about dollars and thinking about building things out into a bigger way. But for me, I'm really satisfied with my life and my world there and what this has become. And I think the goal is to continue that for a while.
Mm. You're in this business in part because you do enjoy cooking. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if the logistics of handling this enormous demand have taken some of the joy out of running the place?
There are definitely moments, but I feel like I continue to work really hard to just make it manageable. And part of it is taking a good chunk of the winter off. And some mm-hmm. people say like, well, why don't you open more days? And it's, you know, I just think like, I only have so much in me and I'd rather do it for less days in a year and do it for many more years than I would just burn out so hard. I mean, the way this goes, it's like, you know, you're talking 16 or 18 hour days sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that people who may not understand that, there's only so long you can do that. I mean, I've sort of created an unsustainable business because if I get sick, the place can't open. If I break a bone, I'm in big trouble. So, you know, it's not the brightest move, but at the same time, you know, I've worked hard to have some sort of balance and keep a bit of life for myself on the side, but throw myself into this when it's in season.
What do you do during the off season, during those few months in the wintertime?
I binge on Netflix.
Okay.
I eat a lot, and I just sort of catch up on, well, I watched Game of Thrones in like 1 month, the entire thing. So.
There you go.
You have to catch up on all the human things.
I'm sorry. I probably should have looked this up before I talked to you, but I am curious. Are your parents still alive?
Yes.
Okay. So then the next logical question is, what does your dad think of all of this?
Oh, gosh. That's a really sensitive subject. I'm not sure what my dad thinks about this. I think there's part of him who can't quite wrap his head around it. He never really believed in this idea, always thought maybe I should just buy his diner and kind of just keep going there. But I don't know, there was something that was burning inside of me, and he never really got that. He was like, why are you doing this? This is like too groovy. This isn't what people want. So I think he sees it now that it's working, but I don't think he's quite ready to tell me that he's really proud of that.
Mm, interesting. Well, it's got to be kind of a challenge. I mean, he's been in the business for a long time without generating demand from 20,000 people.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's interesting. Any other questions that you've got?
I was curious, you know, because we've seen a really strong growth of interest in kind of like chef personalities or chef culture, for lack of a more accurate phrase. I'm just curious whether or not you've been tapped to participate in any of that
kind of
media.
We have had every opportunity under the sun, everything from every Food Network show you can imagine, Top Chef called. And that one was kind of a big moment because I remember the woman who called me and she wouldn't let go. And she called me weeks in a row and she's like, Erin, you need to do this. This is going to change your life. And I was like, I don't want to change my life. This is the reason I'm going to say no. So, you know, and that's been part of putting the brakes on when all of these things started to come our way. Do this show, do that show. And it was like, what is that defining happiness or success? I mean, I guess the general way that if you're doing what I do for a living, it's all about, you know, doing these shows and getting yourself out there in this way. And I didn't feel like that was really representing who I was. And, you know, it's like, okay, I already have a restaurant, and I love it. It's my dream, and why would I want to change my life?
So. I was going to say, and given the way Lost Kitchen has worked, I think you could argue it's already changed your life.
Right.
Cool. Anything else about the experience you have that you'd like to share with our audience that I'm not asking you about?
Well, I don't know. There's probably some misconceptions about it, and I feel like maybe it's that I had this grand plan, and you know, people say, oh my God, your marketing's brilliant. And I'm thinking like, what? It's a postcard or what? It's like, believe me, I barely graduated high school. I dropped out of college to move home to my parents' house and never imagined I'd be doing this. So this was really this happy organic accident that happened that I never imagined would become this. And if anything, I've just been trying to keep this freight train on the rails and slow it down a bit and just continue to let it be whatever its beautiful thing that it's becoming is, and I think we found it. There's also a lot of people who think like, oh, like you guys, you need to let more locals in. You don't let Mainers in. And the thing is, it's like if you didn't get in, then you think that the system doesn't work. And it's like we have nights when it's all Mainers. You know, you look and you see 207 down the whole thing, and, you know, we're celebrating Main night. And, you know, there's always this misconception of like, oh, it's, you know, the system doesn't work. And it works great when you get in, and when it doesn't, it doesn't. So,
when does the restaurant actually open?
We open second week in May, so yeah.
About a month away.
Well, I wish. 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks.
All right. Counting down my last Saturdays here.
There you go.
Just, yeah.
Thank you very much
for
the time. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too.